going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Jacqueline Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor Jay Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
No, your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Amen, 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 everybody. This is Pastor Jam. We're going to start off in normal fashion. Normal fashion is this. We're going to come out with a scripture, and then we're going to go into prayer. The scripture that we're coming out of is Ephesians 4:2, and it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." We should be loving, patient, humble. Treat people the way you want to be treated. I don't know how many times the Bible got to rephrase it, recategorize it to say the same thing, because even in the Amplified Bible, it says, "In all humility, forsaking self-righteousness and great and gentleness, maintaining self-control with patience, bearing with one another, unselfish love. Not that situational love where if you do something for me, I love you for that moment. No, love them because. Just love them because. You don't need a reason, but just love them because. And if you have a love problem, look at the heart and understand what's happening in the heart. And you'll be able to really get down to the root of it. Amen. Amen. Let's go into prayer. Dear Father God, we just thank you, God, for the day, God. Thank you for bringing us halfway through this week. God, we just ask you to be in the midst. Let your word go forth, God. Let tonight something be said that could to break change and bring revelation, God. God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. God, we just ask you to just be in the midst. Enlarge our territory tonight, Lord, at Anointed Radio, where we could be able to get to new airwaves, new countries, new cities, new people, new audiences, new everything. Just bring all new things in with a fresh new attitude, Lord, where we could be able to come on tonight and somebody could be able to walk away with something. God, let's be able to bless people that don't know you yet. God, let's be able to help people reconnect with you, Lord. God, let something be said tonight to encourage someone's walk with you, God, or to be able to reconnect some people with you again, God. God, we just ask you, let's be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and touch somebody with the hardest heart so they can say, "What can I do to be saved?" Bless everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, that's listening now or even in the podcast, that they could be able to understand that you are real, that you are there for them, and that no matter what they're going through, that God could make a way out of no way, that they went through it, but they came out stronger, and that God is really going to make things better. You just got to wait on the Lord. God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. We just thank you for all the things that you're going to do. And God, just be able to bless everybody tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's Pastor Jalen. Like always, I got something to say. And what I got to say is this. You can follow me at Anointed Jalen on all social media platforms. And yes, that means Clubhouse, Thread, Instagram. I'm not on Twitter. I'm boycotting Twitter. I'm cool off Twitter. Twitter is trash. That's why Twitter don't even exist. It's called X. And I feel like they're making fun of the real X, Malcolm X. Yeah. I said it. But anyway, make sure you go follow me. If you want to listen to any of my music, go to Pastor Jalen Calhoun on Spotify and Apple and all that good stuff. Listen to Spirit Flows Through Me, which has reached 1.3 million on SoundCloud and I believe 200,000 on Spotify. So definitely go check out Spirit Flow to Me, my second gospel EDM track. Go get the Jesus You Make Me Happy, Renew My Praise, My Team Reps Jesus, all that good stuff. Go to Spotify and all those places and put in Pastor Jalen Calhoun and you'll be able to find all that. And shout out to my people at Forward Book Publishing because they helped me publish my first book, y'all. And that's Creole Tea Remedies on Amazon, where you can be able to go and get my book. I'm telling you, there's some crazy things happening ever since COVID. And I got some recipes in there to detox your body, you know, to help you get back on top of your health. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring up our co-hosts. But before I bring up the co-host, make sure you share, like, subscribe. All my people that's watching on Facebook, YouTube, share, like, subscribe. Make sure that you share onto your groups and your pages and make sure that you like the page. So when we go live, you will know it. Amen. So the first person we got coming up as a co-host, we have Miss Simi So Real. And we have everybody favorite cousin, MTA, hey. Marvette. Go ahead and tell them where they can find you.
I'm your girl, Simi So Real. You can find me on Tick to the Talk, Facebook, Instagram, and in the clubhouse. I'm ducking and diving, looking and lurking, but I'm in there.
You can find me on all social media. I am on Facebook as Simons MTA. Also, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok, Marvette the Artist. Follow me and let's work.
But you didn't say I'm your favorite cousin from your daddy.
Let me say that. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. What's happening, y'all? Instagram, Marvette the Artist, aka MTA, aka your favorite cousin on your daddy's side. What's happening?
My favorite cousin on my daddy's side.
Facts. Who's your dad? Never mind. Anyway, so said, we're going to go ahead and bring up our guest today. We have a powerful man of God that is in the building today. I met him in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was too cool. I was sick, actually. I'm going to let y'all know I was sick, and I still had to listen. I was listening, and he had an anointing coming from him, and he did it in a cool way, and I just want to bring him to the stage, Apostle Thomas Evans, everybody.
Give it up one time for Apostle.
Blessings. What's up?
So where can everybody find you?
What's that, Jay?
So where can everybody find you? Gosh. What's your Instagram, your TikTok?
I'm on Clubhouse. I'm Facebook Thomas Evans, Instagram Thomas Evans, Facebook. I'm actually Thomas underscore Evans, and Instagram Thomas Evans, YouTube Apostle Thomas Evans. We on all the platforms. We are, and then TikTok. We are Evans Let's Unwind. That actually comes from my wife and I. We have a podcast relation. We do relationship counseling and coaching, and we have a podcast called Let's Unwind with the Evans. So we do stuff on TikTok there as well. So we all over the place.
Awesome. So everybody, make sure you guys go and follow him on all of his platforms. And one thing I want everybody to know is that you can watch us on Roku right now. You could be able to watch us on Roku TV at Anointed Radio Network on the whole TV and all that good stuff. So make sure you go check us out because living our life in the sunshine, do do do, do do do, Everybody loves the sunshine. Let me stop because you know they'll flag us for trademark or something. You know, Roy Akers' great great grandchild might come out of nowhere. Oh, I was just yeah. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and give out our shout-outs. Shout-outs to all of our media partners, Las Vegas Raiders, Las Vegas Knights, Las Vegas Lights, Las Vegas Aviators, soon-to-be Las Vegas A's, and our champion, Lady Aces. Make sure you go and support them. And I went out for the first time, and I could tell you this. I went to Slam Ball. I didn't know what Slam Ball was, but all I could tell you that Slam Ball is a mixture of basketball, football, and a trampoline, and it go crazy. So if you haven't seen Slam Ball, go check out Slam Ball. It was definitely a fun experience. It was at Thomas and Mack here in UNLV, where they had a whole little league of Slam Ball. I guess this has been around for a minute, but they tackle people. Like, I mean, it was like tackling people and uppercutting people on the trampoline. It was dope. It was dope. I got to go watch it again. So definitely shout outs to all of the sports here in Las Vegas. We know that the Hall of Fame game is coming up with the Jets and the Browns. The first piece of football that most men have been craving for. It's a preseason game, but it's football. Football season coming. So with that, hey, everybody go check it out. And if you did not know, now you know it's a real person's birthday. Because shout out to all the August babies out there. Because it's lion season, Leo season. And with Leo season being known, my birthday on Friday. Just want y'all to know that my birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
My birthday tomorrow. I'm going to say that for the next 48 hours. My birthday tomorrow. So that's all right.
It's your birthday. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, because you from over there.
You know.
That's the official.
No.
Florida side came out. She was like, it's your birthday. It's a 305. It's your birthday. It's a 305. It's your birthday.
Right now.
It wasn't that part. Yo, you know what though, Pastor? It's funny you say that because the month of August, I had too many people's birthdays. My mother's birthday is in August. My sister's birthday is in August. One of my son's birthday is in August. My wife's birthday is in August. It is ridiculous.
So this is Leo so crazy.
This is broke.
Because Leo's, it's your broke month. Oh, I have one of those. I have twins.
Broke month.
Yeah, I know that. Actually, I want to say February is my broke month because it's Valentine's Day, my mama's birthday, the twins' birthday. Yes, yeah, a whole bunch. My brother's birthday. My cousin's birthday in February, and it ain't got that many days in February. That's the cold part about it.
You can't even catch another check.
You can't even get a check. You gotta be broke until March. And then soon March comes, it's my anniversary. So I'm like, man, I gotta save my little coins in Christmas for this next year. Months just gonna pop up like that.
Put that in your iPhone calendar.
It's already there. It's already there. That's how I've survived. But you know what? Shout out to all the Leos. I see y'all in the comments. Shout out to all you Leos out there. My birthday's pretty dope. Obama shares it with me. I said it. He shares it with me.
You probably share my birthday with me.
Got you. That makes
sense. It made so much sense to me. It made me super special because I remember when he first got in office, I came to Vegas on vacation and the news was like, happy birthday. I came down into it. I said, ooh, the hotels do this to you now. They tell you your birthday on the TV screen. And then they said, happy birthday, Obama. I said, oh, let me just cover that part. And it still says happy birthday to me. Yes. Leave me alone, y'all. Y'all know what it is. Anyway, happy birthday to all Leos out there. August Leos. Shout out to all the July.
Leo's. Ooh, that group right there, them Leos. Oh, I could write a book. My God.
Mm. Marvel, what did you do to Birdie yesterday? Hold on.
All right. Keep playing games.
Now you know
Simmy will go to sleep. Okay. You know I take my nap right here online. Y'all start asking me questions, I'll be
with
my mouth open too.
Jay, you are. I'm just saying, she says something about Leos. We take that sense.
I'm just saying, that's the end of the
everybody road. Have their time, and then when it comes to Leo season, y'all always got something to say.
If that's an interesting group.
See? Hey, you watch right, it.
Because you're my brother. I'm just saying.
I'm
my
not.
Little brother, but
it's,
I'm
a blessed, it's a blessed group. It's a blessed group.
It's an interesting group.
So we're gonna go into this or that because man, and then shout out to Will. I see your birthday August 8th out there. Okay, it's Willow. Jesus season. It's Jesus' season every month.
Jesus is always the season for every reason. Above everything, Jesus is always.
Come on, you better preach.
See,
there you go. I'm worried about what the stars in the sky say. I'm worried about the creator that made the stars in the sky. That part.
Ah, here we go.
That part. Come on, somebody.
Apostle looks like Cash App, please.
We're going to pray for you before this over with. We're going to pray for you before this over with. We're going to deliver you from that Leo spirit.
Oh.
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 Oh, I feel a Shonda in my spirit.
Okay, amen. So let's go into this or that. Shout out to all my Leos out there. Just give a roar. Put a little line in the chat. You know, show that we here and we there. You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, we're going to go into this or that. And everybody can interact with it. So the first question for this or that is, would you rather have a community pool or a water slide?
I'm going to go down. I'm going to just do the water slide because I just don't want to share my water with other people I don't know. At least I know the water is sliding off. I'm just saying. It's not being resurfaced.
MTA trying her best to keep a straight face. She's trying her best. It ain't working.
I see you, Williams. Please pray for Life Transformation Church in Henderson. Gotcha. I'll keep you in prayers.
If it's not a baptismal pool, it's no use to me trying to share the water.
But HOA charged too much money for you not to use. Because if you got a pool in your neighborhood and you pay HOA fees, because I'm going to say that.
listen, that's a good question. But no, because I was going to say, is the slide community too, or is it private?
No, that's private. Yeah, that's at
I'm
your
like
house.
Her, though. I don't like sharing water with a whole lot of other folks, though, because, you know, stuff happened in the water. And
you know, give me the slide. Water. Oh, take me to. I'm going to need y'all to get out the water. Y'all been in that part of the water too long.
And we live in Vegas. So.
And y'all been in that jacuzzi area too long.
Not the jacuzzi.
Y'all been in these bodies of water too long.
Anybody in a jacuzzi in this time, everywhere is boiling.
Let me tell you something.
That
means this stuff coming off your skin, and I ain't finna be in that water.
I'm not about to do it.
Let me get the slide.
That's what y'all gonna make about. This community. I'm defending all community pools because y'all coming at community pools wrong. We pay too much money.
Listen,
on HOA,
in the bathtub, call it a
day. They do too much in the community pool. You got people who don't
how you know
the pool when they got to use the bathroom.
Will people be coming to your house to take a bath, by doing what they want to do?
Yep. And to some folks, that's the only time they touch water inside the community pool. I'm good.
I seen somebody look like I said, nah, I know. Your neck. Your neck is like that naturally dark, and you get yourself a different pool.
Listen, that's a good. It depends on the community. There we go. That I like that answer right there. It depends on the community. Because sometimes that pool water, you know, be a little bit dark blue over there. And it's like, why is there all this auto light and that's dark over it?
It's a lot going on in that corner.
Not to really be gross, but then, you know, with kids, you know, they spit in the water.
Yes.
They have snot coming out their nose in the water.
And then they do like this.
I don't want to be in the water with nobody else's snot. I'm sorry. I'm anointed. But I ain't anointed for nobody's snot.
I mean, the only person going to put some spit
take
on
them
me
to the highways
is the Lord.
And the highways.
If it ain't Jesus putting the spittle in the clay, I'm not trying to have nobody else.
I don't even want that. Amen. So next question that we're going to go to. Next time we're going to go. Next question, guys. Next question is this. We get to pick one vacation. One vacation, all expense paid. Where are you going?
MTA.
Marvette.
Come in the room.
Marvette, this should not be surprising you. When last time you was on, they had World War III in your background.
I'm not anointed for nobody else's snot. I'm sorry.
You can get in that pool when you, if it's the HOA, I got the same thing. And I see that they did a fresh clean, because you know when you see them leaving, then you, that's the right time right there to hurry up and get in the pool before everybody else start getting their ashy selves up in there.
Oh, you said ashy.
Maybe ashy going in like they ain't, I'm just saying, you see some stuff. I'm like,
okay, next question. Jesus.
I want
to go all expense place.
I'm going to Dubai.
Okay.
I'm going to Turks and Caicos.
Turks and Caicos. Okay. So I'm going to pick, if I had to pick, I'm going to New Orleans.
Are you serious?
Yep.
You going to New Orleans?
I'm going to New Orleans. Who that there? Why Simi look so disappointed at me?
Works.
I want you. I know that's your home and all this, but what I'm just wanting you to set your expectations just a little bit. Go a little bit higher. Go higher.
First of all, you ain't going to talk about where I wants to go.
I'm going to tell you right now.
If I want to go,
baby, where you want me to take you? You can go anywhere you want to eat, where you want to go. Just take me to Burger King.
Facts.
That's how I feel when you said New Orleans.
It's the simplicity. And New Orleans ain't cheap, because I haven't been there for a week and so. And
your anywhere money, in the world.
I'm going now. I said anywhere. Expense paid. I don't got paid to. I'm going to New Orleans. Sure enough. Who that's there?
I'm going to Dubai.
And
my wife be like, baby, come on, let's go. Let's get on out of here.
I like me some New Orleans.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
New Orleans for a weekend getaway, but an all expenses paid trip, got to get out of the States.
Just throw the whole show away. Today.
I'm not doing this tonight, y'all. I am getting off early because I'm not doing this with Simi tonight.
First of all, not Simi with them big old glasses like she, Tina Turner, when she was in the courtroom. Talking about, I'm gonna keep the name.
Don't do Tina like that.
Hey, nah, she brought the vacation home to her. That's what she did. She brought the vacation in the living room. She like, look, where we go, sunbathing.
See, all I had to do. See, we got people saying Switzerland, Rome, Turk and Caicos.
They got
Bali.
Good taste. Okay, what I'm talking about. Where you want to go? You live in Las Vegas, Henderson.
Facts. I'm keeping half the money. I don't know why y'all don't see the play. I'm keeping all this money.
Now, Bali is not a bad place to go to. Yeah, Bali. I can do Bali.
Fix it, Apostle. Fix it, Apostle.
See, Bora Bora wasn't a bad answer.
Apostle, fix it. And
they got Italy, got Paris. Actually, to be honest with you, where I really wouldn't want to go, I still New Orleans is still number one. My number two is Israel.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
I'm a historian. I want to actually say I walked the places I read in the Bible, instead of just seeing it on TV and researching it. So with that, I think that'd be dope. And then the other person, the other place I want to go to is Ghana.
I
want to
go Ghana too.
So I could be able to see the slave castles of where people were imported. Because
I just want to see the fine men that live out there.
Amen. So the next question that we're going to go into is if you could pick one gift from God, what gift would that be?
The gift of sleep.
The gift would make room for you before great men.
It will bring you before great men. Yes, it will.
So what would the gift be, guys?
I was serious. The gift.
You said the gift of sleep?
Yes. To be able to get some sleep.
You better watch what you say. Because, you know, God going to be like, oh, you want sleep, huh? And then that's your note.
But see, about it, when I had that conversation with him, now he know what type of sleep I'm talking about because I don't sleep for real. I lay down, but that my eyes, I wake up within.
I got something. I got something for you. When you read your Bible, you fall asleep?
No.
Oh.
I'm so serious. Even if I fall asleep, y'all, I promise you, I'm gonna be asleep for about a good 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, and then I'm up.
That's the devil. That is really the devil.
You need some melatonin.
You need a lot. You need to just calm. You need to start getting you a night routine, and you need to take a shower. And when you take a shower at night, don't take a shower with the lights on. Take a shower with the night light. Don't stand up. Sit down. Act like it's warm rain pouring over your body. It's a whole thing you need to do. It's about two or three things to set you straight. And when you go to bed, put on the scriptures.
Okay.
Mm. Put on the scriptures.
You better give the remedy of sleep.
Yeah, because I got the habit. There's some things you can do, too. Because
I'm telling you, she got that thing. But MTA, you know what? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tap on to what somebody said. What you need to do is learn how to tell your mind to be at peace and stop thinking. It's because your mind is constantly going is why you don't rest. Even when you sleep, you're not resting. You're sleeping, but not resting. You're not resting because your mind is thinking about the next thing that's going on, next thing. I'm trying to not do, but you're a planner. And you're always into stuff and trying to organize and create and things like that, not only for yourself, but other people. And so because you're doing this, you literally dream about the next project. You dream about the next thing. And so you've got to get yourself to a place where you get out of that and just get to a place where you can say, okay, Lord, I need to rest. And you need to make your mind shut up. You need to make your mind calm down. And you'll get a good night's sleep. Take that rainfall that Simi told you to take. Sit in that tub and make your mind be at ease. But as long as you're constantly thinking about what you're thinking about, yeah, that's not good. I'm going to give you another word for that, and I'm going to get out of that. It's anxiety. That creates anxiety, which causes a lack of rest. So I just rebuke anxiety over your life. I command your mind to be at ease and that you would sleep peacefully at night. I speak to not only your brain, I speak to your hands. I just command that blessings will come into your hands, that you'll no longer be worried about what the next situation is going to be and what's going to come in, but that you'll be able to flow in that thing and do exactly what God has called you to do. All right, I'm sorry. Let me pull out of that.
Next question, Jen. That's how she normally because in the Bible said, when thou sleepest, you shall have sweet sleep. Sweet sleep, not just any kind. Sweet sleep.
Sweet.
Well, we're going to the last question. Last question will be this. Y'all ready?
So the last question. I just got out of Bible study and I was flowing, so I'm still sensitive. I'm trying to pull myself out of this, just be cool, but I'm still in that vein. So y'all just bear with me. I'm sorry.
That's good.
I got you. It ain't no, it's all right.
Yeah, you good. You know nothing about me, so you would. I know that was nobody but God, because you don't even know me. So and everything you said was the truth.
So all I could say is this. Guess what, y'all? The last question would be, if you can pick any time in time era that you would want to live in right now, what era would that be?
Take me back to the 80s, man.
You said the 80s? You want the Jerry Crow era back?
take me back to the 80s. Now, I don't want the Jerry Curl juice. Take me back to the 80s. You know, we started the box pets and stuff back then. Now that the music, the life, the hip hop, just the 80s was just that created a whole lot of what folks is living in right now. That 80s era really did. It was something. So take me back to the 80s. Good times. Summer, summer, okay. Summertime.
Okay. Okay. Simi.
I was trying to, I like the era. I want to say it was the 20s, but then, you know, because I'm an African American, I'd be wanting to make sure we was in, it was a really good time. I'm not trying to play games for real.
That's why you don't want to do nothing before the 80s.
I know, and that's the whole thing. I'm like, man.
I'm gonna tell you, if I had to pick, I'm gonna pick the revolution, my brother. The revolution of 1970s. The revolution will be televised. Yep, that's the year I would go. I would go back to, because you know what? That's when musicians actually was really at their peak. The 70s style of music was fire. We got Diamond in the Back, Sunroof Top. Ooh. Dig in the scene with the Gangsta Lean. Ooh. Ooh. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I did like the Harlem Renaissance. I like the 20s where the black people, we dressed, it was so much class and style. And
then you're going to end up in Tulsa, we're in the Tulsa area in 1920.
Yeah, all this. It was, but I mean, see, for every good era we had, especially back then, even today, it's something. It was something. It was just something. But the style and just the class and just the unity and the progression, I think that's what I love about that.
So you would have went to the 20s.
I would have been, girl, we got to go to church. You know we can't be in here too long.
So you want to be in the color purple?
You know, we'll just forget it.
You sure?
Oh, my God. What is wrong?
You gonna just let this girl sit at your table, just dead and horrible? Wow.
Y'all lying for real? Oh gosh!
Hey, I can see Simi too. I sat in that chair. I sat in that chair. Do you do right by me, Miss Simi?
I'll be right there with you, Simi. Don't worry about it.
You gonna have somebody tell Simi, get off my land. Get off my land. Get off my land, Simi. Get off my land.
Jalen is crazy.
Come on, y'all. He been acting up.
You told Hoppo to beat me.
We going there by night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. She said 1920s. All I thought was color purple on horseback.
I don't even know if that's the right setting. Just stop. I'm just done right now.
And then that's the Great Depression right up. Never mind. Hey, man.
I know the Great Depression. You know what? Just never mind. Okay.
MTA, what you picking? They said the comment said you be shook. You shook. Ugly.
Wow.
Oh God, Jesus!
Oh God!
Not sure, Lord.
Not sure. Wow. Oh my gosh! You've been on my mind. Oh,
married now, Daddy. Married now. I'm married. Sinners got souls too.
Got soul too.
God.
Oh God! Oh Jesus!
I can't.
I guess I would have been Oprah.
You'd have been. Oh, so you want to be in that era too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all just be in the whole color purple right there.
Oh gosh!
Jesus! Somebody said that they want to be hanging with Malcolm X. Well, that's the '60s.
Amen.
And that's a different era. That's a.
Is that before or after the perm?
I was gonna say, hanging out with Malcolm X, you gotta watch when you hang out with him. Hanging out with him, your life,
Oh my God. Because y'all know he was a pimp back in the day, right?
And he was robbing.
He was robbing a pimp back in the day. Before he went to jail and found Islam, he was a pimp. And they call him what? Look, they call him Detroit Red or something like that?
They call him Red.
Yeah, Red was something else. That was before you know, he found Islam. So just throw that out there.
Listen, he was
an influential. You got to say what era he was in, because he did live into the 60s. So you should say, like, when he was with Islam or something, because that was when he was prominent. And,
well, how you, they made us make
and both, and both of those time frames was dangerous.
Yeah, both of those time frames. Because
was dangerous for him.
Because Malcolm X talked about Ku Klux Klan popping up to his house, and dragging one of his family members out. So that's a very he said with that cool Denzel.
At least the men was getting. At least some of the men was really getting saved back then and trying to be progressive. These men, they still be. You still robbing? I mean, you 60 years old. You still out in the streets doing. You're not just gonna come to the light. You ain't gonna just.
I've been doing this for a long time. Now I've been doing it for a long time. I got to do what I do. You got $2.
Ain't about to be changing up nothing. When they ain't switching
up. Right. When they one goal too.
Hey, they be. Hey, this is not funny, but they be in that wheelchair real quick. Like, hey, young brother, you know I'm just in these streets hustling. You gotta do what I gotta do. You got $2. I gotta go down and see this white boy named John John.
It ain't young brother, it's young buck. Hey, young buck.
That's what they say, young buck too. Or they say young blood.
Come on, right.
Hey, blood.
John.
Maybe up in there talking about, you know, you look good, girl.
Bye.
I think you looking good.
I don't got my word for the night. It's time for me to go because I can't.
I'm rolling up in here after you, girl. You so fine. I seen with your foot.
See me.
Okay, that was this or that. Everybody,
you pick. They always like somebody's feet. They always rolling on you about your feet, girl. Your foot. When I seen your foot, girl, I had to roll up in here. Girl, your foot is so not pretty. Oh, the way your foot look.
Hey, you know what's crazy? I didn't think about this. Apostle picked the 80s, right? But that's when crack got introduced. That was a scene for you. That's when you saw people with them big old television with the big booty and the big booty televisions that you had to actually have to pick up and roll down the street. Crackheads had them on that shoulder like this.
And they nobody front. Ever asked them nothing. When you seen somebody with a big TV, you was like,
you just looked away. Hey, it'd be like Samuel Jackson on that movie with Wes. What's that movie? With Jungle Fever, when he was a crackhead. He said, come on, brother. Come on. You got $2. $2.
$2. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, we got to get off that. Okay. Amen. Okay. Welcome back to Anointed Radio. That took a left.
Sorry, we was on break. We come back now. We're in the vein now.
We're in the vein. Shondo. All right, Selah. We're gonna come back. All right. So
come on up.
With that, we're gonna go into interview. That was a little this or that. And it was do the right thing. Okay, somebody corrected me. But one thing I want to go into is the interview so we can learn more about Apostle Thomas Evans, who he is, where he from, where his people in them. So we're going to start off with the first question. Where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
Oh, man. I was actually born and raised in Canton, Ohio, but I'm currently in Charlotte, North Carolina, actually outside of Charlotte, which is Concord, North Carolina. But Canton, Ohio is where the Football Hall of Fame is located. Y'all talked about football. Oh, football is king, no doubt.
For sure, because I can't wait till football come back. Why are they putting all these movies? Maybe I was saying wrong because they said New Jack City. Anyway, so one thing I would want to ask you is what got you into church?
Jesus. Let me start. No, really, Jesus. I was an entertainer. What saved, sing, dance, rap, that type of thing. And literally, I was having a bad moment in my life. And it's funny, I share this story all the time, crazy testimony, but I was literally on a bridge getting ready to take my life. And I'm standing on the edge of the bridge. I'm getting ready to jump. And, you know, I hear a voice. And the voice scared me. So I turn around and I'm looking because they called my name. And I'm looking like, wait a minute, who was that? And it wasn't anybody. I'm like, I turned back around, you know, to contemplate jumping again. It's happened three times. And on the third time, I literally hear the voice of God saying, you know, I've got so much more for you. I've got so much that I want to do in your life, if only you just trust me. And I'm just like, wait a minute, who was just talking to me? I'm petrified at this point. Now, mind you, I'm sitting on the bridge about to jump, contemplating jumping, and I'm afraid of a voice thinking that somebody's going to push me over. The redundancy. Wow. But it was at that night on the bridge that I gave my life to the Lord. And from there, God began to do a series of things in my life. Right after that, 2 weeks, roughly, maybe three, I got in a very severe car accident, was paralyzed. And while I was paralyzed, the Holy Spirit began dealing with me in that moment. And when I came out, completely different person. Not only completely different person, obviously I walk, I can play basketball, I can play football, I can do all of these things. So literally, I'm a walking miracle. But it was that really took me into ministry and led me to the place of where I'm at now. So I'm literally just can tell people I've had an encounter with Jesus. I wasn't no sitting at the altar, Jesus, 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 Jesus. No, I'm sitting up on a bridge thinking, okay, my life is no good. I don't need to do anything. I'm worthless. And God visited me right at that moment and said, hey, son, I've got something for you. So that's how I got to where I'm at right now.
So having that moment, how did you battle the times where you felt like some of the things that got you in those dark moments was trying to attack you again?
I don't know why I was breaking up on my end. That's the question again. I'm sorry.
Oh, the question was, when you were going through those moments after God brought you out, because, you know, the enemy uses the same tactics over and over again. When he was trying to attack you with those same methods, what were some of the things that helped you now that, you know, had your relationship with Christ?
You know, like I mentioned earlier, and I tell people this all the time, and I recognize this. I'm always cognizant of the fact that I had a literal Saul to Paul type conversion. I know that that's not everybody's story. So one of the things that keeps me even rooted and grounded is I know that I met him face to face. So when I'm challenged, when I'm going through adversities and I'm going through different things, I remind myself immediately of that moment on the bridge. It is like a real, you know, it's something I'll never shake. It's something I'll never forget. And so I don't allow the challenges that I deal with to really move me as much because I had a face-to-face encounter. And I recognize that for a lot of people, that's not always the case for them. So it's easy when you go through to kind of get moved. It's easy to get shaken and kind of get your mind rattled with things. But I'll say from that, I mean, there's a lot of other instances I could mention, but that really is just a big key for me, a big cog. I mean, I can go back at the age of 9 years old, and I'm older than everybody on here, but at the age of 9 years old, I had an encounter with late, great Catherine Coleman. She called me out of an audience and laid hands on me at 9 years old. So what I recognize is that at that moment, God was sealing me for what was going to happen later on to keep me and preserve me. So because my life has been sealed and preserved, no matter what happens, I always reflect back to that moment and just move forward, you know, and what I'm going through. Now, hear me, please. It's not that I don't go through. It's not that I don't experience things, because I just got finished teaching Bible study, telling them if there's ever an anointing on your life, you can expect some kind of adversity. Adversity comes with anointing. So you can't expect everything to be all cookies and cream and gravies and biscuits. That's not it. If you're anointed, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be tests. There's going to be things that you'll go through. Heck, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. So that's a perfect example. So for me, you know, I just kind of, I keep my mind stayed on God. I really do. And some people tell me I act like I don't have emotions or I don't understand. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I had an encounter with Jesus. I don't have another option. I don't have any other choices, period. You might have an option. You might have a choice for me. I don't.
So you came from a very dark place and you had your encounter with God and you definitely was like changed after that, had a lot of miracles happen in your life, in your body, in your mindset and in your spirit. What do you feel is your purpose? I mean, who are you called to? Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
what is my purpose? My purpose on the earth is to bring change. It's funny because those that are close to me, they call me an apostolic troublemaker. Basically, first of all, I hate the spirit of religion. I hate religion as a whole. So as I mentioned earlier, because of what I experienced, even at 9 years old, what was placed on my life, everywhere that I go, signs, wonders, and miracles happens. And then there's a very heavy prophetic mantle that I walk in. So my job is to effect and bring change to the nation. Everywhere that I go, change has to happen. You can't stay the way you were. You can't be mundane. You can't be just, that's not going to happen because there's a grace on my life to pull you out of that and push you forward. The name of our ministry is Destiny Advancers Global Ministries. So my purpose on the earth is to help advance people into their destiny, to help advance people into their purpose so that they can see who God really is and walk it out in every area. Those seven mountains, family, economics, education, government, all of those areas, my grace is for those things to push people there so that they can be who God has called them to be.
Do you feel that like a lot of times that, you know, just in your everyday life, do you feel a pulling a lot of times? Because a lot of times when you come through great adversity and you operate as an apostle, your spirit is very sensitive, but also you want things in order. Do you feel like on a day-to-day basis that you feel pulled like, okay, and do you find yourself having to pray saying, okay, God, whatever you have for me today, go ahead and prep me because, you know, it's probably consistent that you're being pulled on a daily basis.
A daily basis, how about every second of every hour? excuse me, you hit the nail on the head. I'm a stickler for order. And you know, some of my church families on here, they know that I am a stickler for order. I was 2 minutes, for me, 2 minutes late getting on, even though I was early. But I'm just a stickler for detail. I'm a stickler for order, structure. And you're right, my spirit gets real sensitive. So when I walk in a room, I'm able to feel what people feel. I'm able to see. It's weird. I could touch a doorknob, and I know who touched the doorknob, even though I may not know who that person is. There's some sensitivity there that's different. So yes, I have to wake up in the morning. It's interesting because, you know, we have the armor of God. So I literally have to wake up in the morning and arm myself for what the day may bring, because I just don't know. But I do understand that with the grace that is on my life, something's coming, whether good or bad. Something I tell, you know, our church family all the time, the anointing draws. It draws both the good and it draws the bad. It draws. And so you have to be prepared for that draw every single day. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, know that that anointing is going to draw to you.
That's awesome. How long have you been in ministry?
Over 30 years.
That's dope. That's a long time.
I've been doing this for a long time. I've done everything in ministry that you can name it. Kids church, usher, clean churches, driven church van, sound system, youth pastor, armor bearer. I've served in literally every capacity that there is to serve, and I never really recognized that while I was serving that God was preparing me for something else. I never sought a platform. I never sought to preach. As a matter of fact, it's funny because one of my spiritual fathers just passed away not too long ago, but one of my spiritual fathers told me, hey, it's time for you to preach. I'm like, preach? That ain't what we do. So it was something that I just wasn't looking for that.
I love that you said that, because a lot of people in this new generation run to want to preach. And I don't, like, I'm going to tell you, it took three cities and three different preachers to tell me I preach for me to finally say, okay, I accept that thing. I mean, I went from Antioch, California, Hinesville, Georgia, and I believe it was South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, and they all was like, you got the calling to preach. And I couldn't run away from it because I'm a runner. Every time God told me I was going to preach, pastor, move, I ran. I was like, nah, that's not what you meant. And it took a lot for me to finally say yes. So to see so many people that just try to run for the platform.
You know, the interesting thing about that, Jay?
Go ahead.
No, and you're right. That's a sad thing, because what happens, unfortunately, we have a lot of people who don't want to actually accept accountability. And accountability comes with proper submission. And when you are submitted properly, it breeds accountability. And from that accountability comes a release. So essentially what happens is we've got a lot of young people today who just went, they were never sent. And so for me, I never just went. I was never that, you know, listen, I was happy doing gospel rap. I was happy doing my little lyrics, you know, and doing my thing. I'm like, sweet. And like I said, my spiritual father was like, no, I need you to preach. And okay, well, I'll preach for you because that's what you want me to do. And that was my thing. I just do that because of that. And after doing that, God actually led me away from that ministry at the time in Concord, North Carolina. He took me from that ministry to Ohio, where I actually became a youth pastor, where a church hired me. It was a funny, predominantly white church who brought me in and put me on staff. I had 3,000 young people. And so here I am, this, you know, kind of hip hop pastor, you know, who was doing gospel rap at this ministry, at a youth pastor, minding my business. Now, keep in mind, I share it with you guys that there is a heavy prophetic mantle that rests on my life. So I'm prophesying even when I don't know I'm prophesying. Yeah, I'm talking to folks and things are happening. You know, people are talking about, oh man, that happened and you spoke that, and I didn't speak nothing. I was just having a conversation with you. And so I'm doing this with my young people and things are happening. And I'm also doing this with their parents, and their parents get to a point where they stop coming to the service and they come over to the youth center. So now my 3,000 young people turn into like 5,000 people, and half of them are the adults, not the youth. So the pastor of the ministry has to forbid the adults from coming into the youth center because they're not allowed to come over because they're disrupting his service, because I'm prophetically flowing, not realizing what is happening. So after a while, I get kicked out of the church because I'm flowing in the spirit and I'm not flowing in man's order. Let me leave that alone.
Well, that's all right. All that did was make you stronger and put you in a situation when you became or developed your gift as an apostle. You understood a different type of order, you know, and I'm sure you could recognize the spirit of jealousy very quickly, you know, when people are coveting very quickly, especially going through that. I wanted to ask.
Hold on, Simi. I wanted to answer one thing because I saw something in the comments. See, every time Apostle, we get on the live, the comments just be blowing up. I don't ever be paying attention, but today I'm paying attention. So I want to just clarify why I said I ran. I ran because I read my Bible. It says that if I pushed anybody away from Christ, that their blood will be on my hands. And I was not ready. See, a lot of people running for the mantle of minister, pastor, apostle, all these things don't realize the accountability part. That if you preach wrong, you push somebody away, you do anything, that the person turned away from Christ, their blood is on your hands. So that's why even people to this day, even when before I preach, I've been preaching for years, but before I preach, I still get nervous because I want to make sure I'm in the will of God, that I'm not pushing nobody away or saying the wrong thing, because at the end of the day, I can't afford, I already got my own sins. Hello, somebody. I don't need nothing else added, no extra added paper of Susie, Johnny, and everybody else because I preached it wrong. I treated somebody wrong. I pushed somebody wrong because of how I was perceived. But I wanted to put that disclaimer out there. I didn't just run because I didn't want to be in the forefront. I was a singer. So before that, I've always been in the forefront singing. I just didn't want to have the responsibility of helping people to salvation as a preacher. That was a different, whole different realm. Just want that, put that out there. Go ahead, Sydney.
Now it looked like Apostle wanted to speak to that.
I'm just saying that's the key, because I love when he just said, you know, I've always been at the forefront singing, but ministering, preaching, and having souls that I'm accountable to, it's a different perspective. And what we're dealing with today is a lot of young people who don't understand the grace that comes with the mantle that's on our lives. So they just want the platform. They want to be seen. It looks, and here's the challenge. When you're anointed for a thing, you have to state there, they're like, oh my God, I can do that. I can do that. Well, it's not about if you can do it or not. Are you anointed for it? Because the anointing makes it look really easy. And it may not be as easy as you think. And the grace that's on the individual's life, that it makes it look as seamless as it does. But there's a lot of warfare that goes on with it.
And I could tell you, when preaching, as a preacher, the demons are different. It's way different, because what they want to do is cripple you before you put out any type of word. So they go usually after your body, your family, and your mental peace. So you got to realize when you preaching, they already attacking before you even speak. Yeah, that's why you got to realize when people come up and speak, you know, and say their prayers, saying, let it be all of you, none of me. That is not for show. This is really me talking to God, saying, God, let it be all you, because right now I'm insecure about my word. I don't know if people gonna understand it. I got a speaking problem sometimes where I be slurring on words. So God help me with that. And God, I just want you to make sure that it's made plain and there's no state of confusion. There's a lot of stuff that happens. You could watch if there's a preacher really in line with God and a person that's just speaking for themselves. Because it shows different. It's a whole different look to the preacher that's actually aligned with God, that wants to make sure that the word falls on ears that's in line with what God is saying.
I was going to ask Apostle, what was one of your greatest ministry moments? What was one of your greatest, like, just one of the greatest ministry moments of healing and or deliverance that you seen God move in, and you were like, oh my goodness. Like, it just really moved you to no end.
One of my greatest ministry moments. Honestly, I feel like I'm still in line for one of my greatest ministry moments. However, there's so many things that God has done over the years that have been amazing. I never forget one young man I was prophesying to. I'd never met him before in my day in my life. He came to this church, and I never forget. And these things that I'm mentioning are unique, which is why I remember them. I said to him, I said, you know, it's literally like I see somebody hitting you over the head, you know, with a bottle. And he jumped back and he threw his hands up and he was like, was you the one that hit me in the head with the bottle? And I was like, bro, no. And he said, nobody knew I got hit in the head with a bottle. How'd you know I got hit in the head with a bottle? I'm like, well, the Lord just showed me that you got hit in the head with a bottle. He's like, man, I got a concussion and was knocked out and was in the hospital for a whole week about that. How'd you know about that? I mean, and that to me was amazing that God showed me, you know, such precision with it. Now, the other moment that stands out for me the most was a few years back, and I have older sons who played football, and I was their coach. I was their high school football coach. And one of my sons played quarterback. This particular game had one of his best games. I think he threw like 4 touchdowns, ran for 2, something. It was crazy. Needless to say, you have to understand how this works. I'm the high school football coach. I used to have services on Saturday nights. So this particular week, I was struggling because this game was on a Saturday. And I was, you know, struggling because I'm like, well, Lord, do I go to the game or do I go to church? I'm a pastor here. I can't forsake going to the church to teach to go to the game. And so the Holy Spirit told me, go to the game. And I was like, wow. Okay. Ship minister was one of my coaches and a couple of the other guys on my staff. So we decided to go ahead. I told them what I was going to do, and they said, well, we're going to the game with you. We go to the game. As I said, my son is having just this awesome dynamic game. And so toward the end of the game, the opposing team's quarterback got sacked, and consequently he broke his neck and began to have a seizure on the field. As he was having a seizure on the field, the EMTs came out, and he began to go into cardiac arrest, and they brought out the defibrillators to try to resuscitate him, and they couldn't bring him back to life. And so naturally, you know, parents, people going crazy. I mean, it's just a lot of pandemonium happening, at which point I kind of got frustrated in my spirit, and I said, Lord, you know, nah, not on my watch. And so I just ran over there and jumped on him. And when I jumped on him, all I could do was just, you know, I asked what his name was, and I began to call his name. And when I called his name, he opened his eyes and he jumped up off the ground. And that was about 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago. And needless to say, God not only healed his neck, but brought him back to life, right? Really taught me a major moment, because here I was ready to go to church, and God was saying, I need you out here on the football field. I realize that God has a greater thing, and sometimes we don't always understand it. I say that for those of you that are watching, to say that you don't always have to feel bad sometimes if you don't make it to church. Maybe God is trying to do something with you out.
Wow.
Amen.
Hey, man.
That was absolutely. I loved it.
He frozen.
Needless to say, that night was
okay. He back.
I think for a lot of people.
We heard most of that story, but it was.
We heard 95, just not the part after, but we heard. The part after,
but you froze a little bit. So, I want to ask this, and we're going to. It'll be last question is this: what would be some encouraging advice to upcoming preachers? Gears?
Oh man, great deal. First thing, and I share this a lot of times with young preachers, preaching ain't everything. Stop focusing so much on the preaching and just focus on your relationship with God. I have a lot of young ministers that are under me, and I tell them, I say, the reality is your relationship with God is what's most important. The preaching will come.
Come on.
Learn how to have balance in your life. You can't always have church. Too much of anything is a bad thing. And sometimes you can have too much church, which doesn't necessarily make it a good thing. The word, but yet they didn't not know who Jesus was when he came. They had so much word that they didn't have relationship with the Savior.
Wow,
that's good.
So if for young, and the preaching will come, but do not focus on the preaching itself, because that's not, that's just an ends to a means. But focus on getting you tagged. We've got a lot of people in church who got bad character. So let's not focus. You can be the baddest preacher on the planet with horrible character, and it leads you to nothing. So let's not focus so much on the preaching itself. Let's just grow our relationship. Let's just be. I say this all the time in churches. The biggest problem we have, especially in a black church, is the moment a black man comes to church and gets saved, we want to put him on a pulpit. And I'm like, no, stop that. Just let that man love the Lord right now. Just let him go ahead and have a relationship. We ain't got to give him no title. Let's let him grow up things of God. Yeah. Let's let him understand what it means to go through some things all the time. Let's stop always just because a man, we so excited that a brother is in the church now, we want to give him a title. We want to give him a permission. No. He don't need a position right now. Let his position be a son. Let his position be learning who the Father is. Let his position be learning what it is to submit. Let his position be, he'll know it, and then it'll be time to move forward. And this is why we've got so many character flaws in the body, because too many people left before it was time. Too many people were elevated before it was time, and they weren't willing to just walk out and have a relationship with God. You know, it's like in a dating situation, you know, you want to date. Dating, hear me. Dating is not about being a boyfriend and girlfriend. Dating is simply about just having a good time at a movie or at a dinner. It's okay to go out on a date. But what does it look like? You want to date in the first date? I want you to be my girlfriend. Bro, can we just chill for a minute and eat your lobster and chill? And that's the same way with the church. We go on a date, and all of a sudden you want to put a ring on. No, it ain't time to put a ring on the finger. Let's let them brothers sit back and chill for a little bit. Let's let them understand what it is to be saved. And once you learn what it is to be saved, if God is saying something other than that, we can deal with that. But right now, just be saved. So that's what I would tell the young preachers. Just be saved right now. Enjoy life. Just be saved, because preaching ain't going nowhere. The Bible is full of preachers. It started with preachers. As a matter of fact, the whole gospel is about what? Preaching. So it ain't going nowhere. Just relax. Take your time and just be saved.
Amen.
I like that. Just sit down and be saved, because there's a lot of people with character flaws in the church, and you could see that they're having a real bad relationship with God because they revert back to worldly ways.
Mm.
They be cheating on God with the world, and that's why most church people petty.
You know what?
I didn't say that. My bad. All the church people, that's all sensitive. I'm just playing. It's jokes.
I'm
Jesus.
Not gonna say nothing, because
but y'all are petty though, because y'all be getting on Facebook instead of talking to people. Amen. That's a whole nother story. Amen.
Let the people
say amen.
You might have to ring.
I got to say.
But Apostle, I just appreciate you for coming on and giving us words of wisdom and coming and spending time with us, because like I said, the most powerful, I guess you could say, the most valuable thing on this earth is time. So you got to spend time with us, and I appreciate you for coming to spend time with us, Last Minute Miracles. And with that,
hey, Pastor Jay, let me say something real quick, if you don't mind, sir.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Simi, I want you to know that business that you've been sitting on, God says he's going to birth it up out of you. You don't have to worry about anything else. You've got the strategy for it already. You've got the blueprint. You've been talking to a couple of people about it, but you've just been hesitant to really pull the trigger and step out in that thing. God says in this season, it's time for you to go ahead and step out. You've got everything that you need. You've got all the wisdom. You just have the confidence that God is backing you up and that you can do it. So in this season, it's time for you to stop procrastinating and underestimating yourself. God says he's called you, he's qualified you, and he has justified you. And not only has he justified you, he just needs you to be obedient and step out. He would not have given you the vision if he wasn't backing you up in it. There are some people that are looking for what's in your hand. Once you step out and do what God is telling you to do, trust me, there's going to be an explosion of manifestation that's going to happen. And you are going to bless your family like you've always said you wanted to be a blessing to them. It's just a matter of you stepping out, though. And that procrastination, you know, we got to kill the procrastination, because now it's time. You're gifted. You're talented. You're anointed for what you do. But it's time for you to really take it to the next step. I literally hear God saying, for you, it's time. This dimension that you're in, you've been too long. So God is trying to take you further than where you are right now. So it's time for you to step out and trust him in this next level of glory, because he really wants to bring glory upon your life. I don't know why it is, but it's like God loves you so tremendously. He loves you so much. And he really wants to bless your hands. He really wants to bless the work of your hands. And again, because it's about family right now for you. He has a love not just for you, but the entire family. It's like I see a whole tribe. He just wants to bless all of them. And he wants to do that through your hands. He wants to do that through your vision. He wants to do that, watch this, through your words. As you continue to speak, you're always encouraging people, but you won't encourage yourself. So God says in this season, he wants you to be encouraged to move forward and what he's called you to do so that you can do some awesome things. And Pastor Jay, you know, the best is yet to come for you, sir. I want you to know that. You know, you're my bro and everything. But listen, God is getting ready to blow your mind in this coming season. I know you have put some things together and you've got some things happening. But I hear God saying that a lot of the stuff that you have planned, he's going to put on halt because he has a plan. I literally ministered a message not too long ago to my ministry called God is Disrupting Your Plan. And I hear God saying to you that he's disrupting your plans. Watch this. Disrupting isn't a bad thing because his plans are greater than your plans. That's why he says my thoughts are bigger than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your way. So what God is about to do with you, Jay, is what you thought you're going, because you're very methodical. I love when you said earlier you're a runner. You're a runner only because some things don't make sense to you. And if it doesn't make sense, then it's like, no, I don't want to touch this. But in this season, what God is doing is he's going to allow you to not only make sense of some things right now that don't make sense, but he's going to allow you to do things that you've always said, I'm not going to do it this way. I'm not going to do it that way. God is disrupting those plans. And he's telling you that this is the way it has to be because holiness is required in it. Righteousness is required in it. So as much as you're a renegade, as much as you're a rebel in this season, God is bringing you in so that he can launch you out, because this is the time for you, sir. Your voice is getting ready to resonate all over the place, not just through Anointed Radio, but there's some other platforms and other avenues that God is going to have your voice, your face, and even your grace. He's going to cause to be revealed to a lot of individuals. It's like you've been in a holding pattern for about the past 7 years. God says that this is the time that I release you, and you'll no longer be held back, and you're going to begin to move forward now, and exposure is going to come to you in a good way, and manifestation is going to happen. Oh, gosh, I don't normally like doing this, but I don't know what's the deal, but even in the house that you're in right now, you need more space for what you need to do. You don't have enough space. God is going to make a way for you to be able to even move from where you are to get the more space so that you can really do what I'm talking from the perspective of a studio and office and all of this stuff. God is getting ready to make a way so that you can be able to do it, because you haven't really been looking. You know that you need it, but you haven't really been looking because, again, it doesn't make sense. So you run from what you don't know makes sense to you. But as I'm speaking to you, I'm praying that God will put in your spirit and heart to walk beyond what you no longer understand. This is the hour of greatness. This is the hour of breakthrough. So I want you to just rest in that and know that God has got you, and you cannot fail in this season, sir. God says you will not ever fail again. You will not ever fail again. This is your hour. This is your breakthrough. So walk in it. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Amen. I received
Amen.
That.
Amen. Spot on.
I received that. And one thing I want everybody to do is make sure you go follow Apostle Thomas on all social media platforms. He got a glimpse of him, but he has ministries. Definitely go check out all his ministries, all the things that he's doing, even this podcast that he has with his wife. Make sure that you go check him out. And with that being said, it's about that time. So we appreciate you, Apostle, for coming on. You already family. I'll be talking to you anyway. So
got some work for you to do down there in Nevada, bro. Got some work.
I got you.
Hey, we talked already. That a couple of them was on there watching. That's why I'm like, oh yeah, it's we got it.
Amen. So I got you. So with that, y'all have a great week. Stay hydrated. If you in Vegas, get your floaties, because it's been flash flooding in certain areas. So stay warm. Stay floated.
Stay warm. Wow. Stay warm.
Really, you don't even have to try to stay warm.
Stay warm.
Stay warm.
Yeah, stay warm.
We say that in Las Vegas. You mean get cooled off?
Yeah, stay right. Warm. They got people in floods. Amen. Stay warm. Stay blessed. And make sure that you go and love on somebody on a serious note, because tomorrow is not promised. People are leaving here. RIP to Mr. I believe his name was August from Euphoria, and Mr. Pee Wee Herman. Who would have thought?
Oh, Pee Wee, him gone bye bye.
He went. He had his final send off. So
they definitely came for,
yep. He, wow. I thought he was going to be like, you know, the Golden Girls. Like,
I went to do. I started Betty White? Doing the dance and everything when I saw that.
Oh, you did the dance?
Yeah, amen. I was sad. Like, I just, you know, because it amazes me that he was 70. So I mean,
he didn't look 70.
No, oh, yeah, he was old. Even when he was throwing up Pee Wee Herman, he was still old.
That means he was 30. Like,
yeah, because he I thought he was the first Andy Milonakis before Andy Milonakis.
He really was.
If you sit there and think about it, he was Andy Milonakis in the 80s to the 90s. I thought he was in 40 something.
good night.
Good night, everybody. Everybody, much love. Make sure you follow us.
Thank you, Apostle.
Thank you, Apostle, for coming on. Much love, much word. Follow us, everybody. Follow us at Anointed Radio at all social media platforms. You can follow us on the podcast. We're on everything but Tidal, because y'all know the word. And we're on Roku TV, where you can download the Anointed Radio app. So with that being said, stay blessed.
I'll be out there soon, Jay. So when I come out that way, I'm calling you, sir.
Okay, you gotta feed me. Amen. I'm the broke best friend. So with that being said, good night, y'all. Much love, and we'll see you on the flip side on your daddy's side of the cousin side. Amen. Peace.